Welcome, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM on the first night of the Democratic Convention going on up there in Denver, Colorado. And some breaking news coming out of Denver with regards to an assassination plot on Barack Obama. And evidently a pretty serious one. And here to talk about it is the main dude over at CBS Television. He's on at, 6 and 11. He's all over the place, ladies and gentlemen. Paul Majors, how are you, sir?
Good, how are you, Tim?
All right, what's going on up there in Denver?
Well, I think you're right. I think federal authorities are taking this very seriously. It all began on Sunday. It's just sort of one of those happenstance deals. Aurora, Colorado police, which is a suburb, pulled this guy over in a pickup truck because he's driving in an erratic manner. His name is, I think it's Theron Gertrell. He's 28 years old. So as they look in the truck, they find two high-powered rifles. Both of them are scoped. They find camouflage clothing, walkie-talkies, like a bulletproof vest, a spotting scope, you know, like if you were a sniper team.
Right.
They find licenses and the names of other people, and they also find a bunch of drugs, particularly methamphetamine.
Jesus.
And apparently one of the rifles, I think, was stolen from Kansas. So they take him in, obviously. They want to question him, you know, what he up to, and turns out he starts talking a bit.
Hmm.
And they end up going to this hotel where he said his buddy is, which I think is in Cherry Hill, which is another suburb.
Right.
And so police go to the sixth floor, you know, door, hotel room, and not bang on the door, you know, boom, we're going to come in. This guy jumps out the window.
Wow.
Yeah. And the only thing he injures is he breaks his ankle.
So is that right? Six floors, he breaks an ankle?
He just breaks an ankle, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
To me, that's a bigger story.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that is unreal. I guess they said he hit some kind of awning.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that's like a cartoon.
It is like a cartoon. Mm-hmm. So they bust, they catch him, and then pretty soon they're all talking now at this point. And apparently one of the subjects, I don't know which one, told the police, the authorities, that they were, this is a quote, going to shoot Obama from a high vantage point using a rifle sighted at 750 yards.
Jesus.
So given what was in their possession and, you know, how they talk about it, it sounds like they may have some experience in this. I asked, Brian Moss was a reporter at our sister station in Denver. I talked to him today.
You know, I wanted to ask you about that. Does he pronounce his last name Maas?
No, it's Moss.
Because it's spelled M-A-A-S-S.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Brian Maas.
Brian Maas?
That's not how you pronounce
that.
Why
should I ask him on the air?
Okay. Yeah, I bet
back on tomorrow.
Yeah, I bet what he'll say is, I haven't heard that since second grade,
yeah,
third
exactly.
grade, fourth grade, fifth grade,
last
college.
Week.
Yeah.
So these two guys start talking about, you know, what it is they were up to. One of them apparently had a ring on. I think it was the guy that fractured his ankle with a swastika on it. And he apparently, sources who were close to the investigation were saying that he's thought to have ties with supremacist organizations.
Hmm.
Now they've arrested a third guy in the case because as of this afternoon, two were under arrest. Now this guy knows both of these guys, and he did tell police that the two of them did plan to kill Obama at it during his acceptance speech somehow. Now, I don't know how you're going to get a weapon into that convention center.
Yeah, well, I don't know how, with all that Secret Service,
I take that back. Is his acceptance speech
outside.
It's in the stadium,
yeah. Oh, Jesus
That's
Christ.
Right.
Can you imagine
stadium.
That?
Oh, I know.
Holy Christ.
Yeah, because there's something like, 75,000 people are going to be there to hear that thing.
Yeah.
And then they took a woman into custody late this afternoon. And I don't know who she is associated with. But, you know, just all started with this sort of, you know, routine traffic stop for erratic driving. And now the Secret Service, you know, they've been involved. The FBI's involved. The ATF is involved in Joint Terrorism Task Force. They're all investigating this and apparently taking it quite seriously. In fact, tomorrow, I think, in the early afternoon, the U.S. Attorney General in Denver will hold a news conference regarding what they've discovered.
Well, that's how they got Timothy McVeigh on
a traffic stop.
On a driving charge.
He was speeding, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Well, you know what? I can't. If Barack Obama on Thursday said, you know, welcome everybody from the great state of Alaska all the way to Florida, from Maine to California, you got a big announcement here. F you, I'm out. Because this job has become a pain in the ass for him. They research his background. They make, you know, they make tons of accusations about this Barack Obama. Then they go after him on his, you know, financial records, on his financial dealings, who he was having, you know, dealings with before. and then his preacher, and then, you know, and now they're trying to assassinate him. Why is that job worth it?
I mean,
that,
I couldn't agree with you more.
Especially when you got young kids.
But hasn't this been in the back of your head that, you know, the fact that he's an African-American, they're, you know, they're just, you know, loose cannons out there, nuts. You know, Colin Powell, remember when people were talking about him running for president?
Right.
And he said he talked it over with his children and his wife.
Right.
And was not interested in the job. I have no way of knowing, because obviously that was a private family conversation. But I believe that issue came up at some point.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it almost has to with everybody.
Yeah.
Even like with, you know, John Edwards has these, the, you know, these two young kids. But anytime you got young children and you run for a position that doesn't really pay that much when you think about it. I mean, I think the job pays $400,000 a year.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's not a lot of money, but for the heat that you take for that job, it's nothing.
And the shape that you're in when you're done.
Oh, I mean, it takes...
It ages everybody.
I mean, look at George Bush coming out of there after 8 years of, you know, Madonna calling him Hitler. Yeah, that is... I just don't understand. I don't understand why people go into politics at all. The one thing I'd like to do is offer Joe Biden, the vice presidential nominee on the Democratic ticket, a free LASIK exam after calling his wife drop dead gorgeous. I think he's in for either some glasses or a procedure.
Well,
or maybe both.
Somebody else actually said that. He plagiarized it. I just want to hear, when he gives his speech, I want someone out in the crowd just to yell, I run your own speech. Remember when he got busted for that?
Oh, yeah, he got busted for that. And then when he was on Saturday... You know, I taped CNN all day because I wanted to catch when he and Joe Biden were speaking. And then you had Barack Obama sitting there behind Joe Biden, and Joe Biden mispronounces his name like, you know, three or four times. Do you remember that? Did you hear that?
I was busy helping a daughter.
All right, here's what it sounded like on Saturday.
All right.
With Joe Biden trying to pronounce Barack Obama, which... I had locked down after the first time I heard it. Here we go.
This election year, the choice is clear. One man stands ready to deliver change we desperately need. A man I'm proud to call my friend. A man who will be the next president of the United States, Barack America.
Barack what?
I think what's his name again?
I think he was trying to say Barack America. But I don't know. Let me hear.
A man who will be the next president of the United States, Barack America.
Barack America.
Barack America.
Yeah. And you know what? He's sitting behind.
Barack America.
Yeah, Barack America. He's sitting behind Joe Biden on this hot stage in Indiana where they're talking about this is where Illinois, this is where, you know, Abraham Lincoln got his start and his first speech and all that stuff. And I'm thinking, he's got to be looking at Joe Biden going, what the F am I doing?
just lean forward and just slap him upside the head.
Or just walk off stage and go, you know, guys, I can get a job on Wall Street, and I can earn about $5 to $6 million a year running a major company. Why do I need this? What's this headache all about?
I don't know. You know, it's the quest for power.
Oh, and then you got the wife involved, and, you know...
Yeah, she gave her speech tonight. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's so beautiful that they let these wives get up there and talk. I mean, if you went to a shareholders meeting of Ford...
No, you wouldn't hear the wife of...
You wouldn't hear, you know, Mrs. Ford or whoever it is. You wouldn't hear that lady get up there for 20 minutes.
But the point is that... She needs to, a lot of the pundits were saying that she had to give a really good speech tonight because she has to sort of entice Americans into getting to know her husband better. Their campaign feels as though a lot of Americans really don't know what he's about.
Well, that's, you know, possible since he's only been in the Senate for 20 minutes. on the other hand, you know, I think also, listen, if Barack Obama can't organize and can't, you know, squash the Clintons or get, you know, the Clintons and the Obamas to agree on stuff, how's he going to deal with the Iranians and the Israelis?
Well, you can negotiate with those people.
He can't negotiate with the Clintons. He's got, on two of the three nights, you got a Clinton up there giving a speech. And then you have her protesters outside, you know, you cheated, you stole the vote. I mean, it's a mess.
Yeah.
Seriously, I don't know why he doesn't just get in this Secret Service car, go to Denver International Airport, and then head back to Illinois and say, guys, it was a great run, but F all of you.
Well, I'm betting he doesn't do that.
I would. The first time, you know,
I couldn't agree with you more. I wouldn't either. Well,
no,
first of all, I'd never withstand the scrutiny.
Right. Hey, now Paul Majors is with us. He anchors at 6 o'clock and also at 11 o'clock
and
every
five.
Day. And five. Well, I don't want to oversell you here, man. 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 11 o'clock every single night on Channel 2. And you guys are kicking ass over there in the ratings, huh?
We are?
Yeah. That's what I got a note today.
Thanks to you.
Yeah, number one in the country over there.
Number one in the country.
Yeah. But you're from Minnesota, where the Republicans are going to have their convention.
Well, I lived there for a while, yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry, you're not from there. You're born and raised here.
Yeah.
But you spent quite a bit of time there.
Yeah.
Is that a Republican state or a Democratic state? What is that?
If you go all the way back to when Walter Mondale ran for president, two jurisdictions that voted for Mondale, and that was Minnesota and the District of Columbia.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so historically, it's a very liberal state. I mean, it's the home of Hubert Humphrey, Eugene McCarthy, you know, the litany can go on and on and on. But it's been oddly enough, as time has gone on here, it's becoming... I'm not saying it's a Republican state yet, but it's close. You know, it was a swing state in the last election. The current governor is a guy named Tim Pawlenty, who's really a good guy. I actually know him.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he's a good guy. And he was actually one of the people under consideration for the vice presidential slot with McCain.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Hey, I don't know if you saw this in the news, but Wisconsin and Minnesota over the weekend got their first frost.
You know Mike Nelson, of course. You know Mike.
Yeah, I know Mike Nelson, sure.
For the listeners out there, Mike's the vice president of communications for CBS O&O's, the owned and operated television stations.
Yeah, and
he's
from
Tomahawk, Wisconsin, right?
Oh, is that right?
And his dad was just here visiting, and I asked his dad how the summer's been. He said, cool. He says, in fact, he goes, 10 miles from Tomahawk, he said, they had their first frost, and this was 2 weeks ago. And I looked at him and went, oh, man.
It's going to be
are the leaves changing yet?
This is going to be a hellish winter.
Oh, man,
in August, the end of August.
You have frost?
Yeah.
Beacons.
Now, when does that usually happen for people who live in Southern California? I'm not aware of that.
Oh, up in that part, like in the Great Lakes area, you know, I would say you get your frost in September, mid-September, the latter part of September.
Oh, is that right?
Chicago, probably more towards, October 1, that kind of thing. Same
Jesus
for Cleveland.
Christ.
Yeah, well, you know, your dad's from Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, Cleveland is, in August, it's still, 95 degrees. Oh,
yeah, and 90% humidity.
Right, exactly. Hey, I want to play something for you here. This is, I saw a thing on the news today, or on the internet today, that celebrities have arrived in Denver. All right?
All right.
And so I'm going to give you an opportunity to name these celebrities. I know you're big with that. And because I couldn't do it either.
I'm going to get an audio cue. Is that it?
Yeah, I'm going to give you an audio cue, and you tell me who you think the celebrity is. Okay.
All right.
Here's the very first one. Here we go.
He's the candidate of this generation, and he's the voice that we needed. And it was time for him to come. I feel really grateful.
Maybe John McCain's a little bit jealous.
Maybe.
Although I don't think anyone here has ever been invited to hang out with him.
It's obvious that he is of mixed heritage. So I would suggest that they talk about it, not in a mean way, not in a way that's going to hurt anyone. I have a 94-year-old mother, and she keeps waking up asking me, did he win? And I'm trying to figure out if she really knows what's going on.
Okay, any of those sound familiar?
There were two, correct?
Yeah, two of them.
Yeah, I got them both, I think.
Who do you get?
The first one was George Clooney, the second one was Jamie Foxx. It wasn't?
No. You know what? I don't know who these people are.
I have no idea.
The first one was, we'll have a list over here. Who was the first one, chick?
The first one was an actress called Rachel Lee Cook.
Yeah.
Rachel Lee Cook?
And she was in...
I have no idea.
No. All right. And the second one was a congresswoman, I believe.
Yeah, she was a senator from Florida.
A senator from Florida. Okay, here's the third one. See if you can get this one.
Dang it. So the melting pot is starting to actually happen. And I think that there's still healing to be done in terms of race in this country, but I think that, we're starting to move beyond that.
Well, all right, who was that?
Barbara Streisand.
Who was it, Randy? Who was that guy?
That was Tim Daly.
Oh,
from
Tim
Wings.
Daly.
Oh,
yes,
it?
Tim Daly, the very popular Tim Daly.
Yeah.
All right, here's another one for you. Again, don't feel bad because I got zero right. for six.
Yeah, I'm 0 for 3, right?
Yeah, we're 0 for 3. All right, here we go.
Well, youth is important to anything, you know what I mean? That's something that I could say that I feel like over the years that many politicians or many people, just many grown-ups never think about the kids, man. We always think we know it all, and the kids is in a whole other world. You got to wait till they grow up to become advisors. But a lot of wisdom come from children. A lot of wisdom come from young people, yo. They have more inspiration and aspirations when they're young. You just got to deal. Like, it's like a school teacher that's sitting there in class trying to tell the class what he want to do, but he don't really believe it and he don't really feel it for the class. So the class is walking away numb. I'm saying, Mr. Obama, don't leave me numb. I can see that.
All right. Any idea?
Yeah, Vanilla Ice.
Oh, close. Is it Raz?
No, how do you not know that voice, Tim? That's the RZA from Wu-Tang.
Oh, the RZA. Yes.
Tim, you fool.
Wu-Tang, man. That's unbelievable. We got to play something.
Well, youth is important to anything, you know what I mean? That's something that I could say that I feel like over the years.
By the way, youth is important and youth has motivated and youth is great is overrated. Youths are morons. I was a youth. I was a moron when I was like 17, 18,
19. I have a friend who says that same thing all the time.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he says. And like if you're watching the news or listening to the radio, right now we hear from a 17-year-old, Jim Conway Jr. My friend just looks at me and goes, I don't care what this kid has to say. He doesn't know anything.
Right. It's like a 17, when you watch a 17 or 18-year-old kid doing stand-up comedy. He has no experience to base anything on.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like my daughter was a day old and or 2 days old, and she was sitting in bed with us, and she was sleeping, and then she was like mumbling or yelling in a little something in her sleep, and my wife said, I think she's having a nightmare. And I said, about what? Something that happened yesterday? She's 2 days old. What are her references? She's never seen a spider. She's never seen a snake.
Yeah, she just.
I mean, what is she having a nightmare over? Jesus Christ. I don't get it, man. All right, Paul Majors, listen. Or I'm sorry. Watch this guy every day on Channel 2. He's on at 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock and 11 o'clock.
I'm trying to get on the 5 a.m. show, too. But
yeah, that's a great show there with that Ken Shocknick, man. But,
well, sir, thank you for having me on.
Yeah, and congratulations on the big raise when you got that 6 p.m. show, man.
I guess I missed that check.
I hate to do this on the air, and I read something online, and I don't mean to bust your balls because I consider you a good friend, but I read something online that your daughter went to college and you put her up at the Ritz-Carlton. She's not staying in a dorm?
Jesus Christ.
Is there any truth to that?
Jesus Christ.
Any truth to that whatsoever? Huh?
No.
She's not staying at a hotel.
She is staying at a hotel.
Oh, okay. All right. There you are. Yeah. Maybe the Four Seasons.
And I want the goddamn university to reimburse me because they don't have a dorm room ready.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Every day, tomorrow.
Oh, that's terrible.
And here's the worst part, Tim. We were getting ready to go up there, right?
Right.
And it was always, we'll contact you. We'll contact you. So I made my daughter call, almost every day, right? And then the woman up there told her she was being a pest. This is a week ago, because we went this last Thursday. So a week ago, Friday, I looked at my daughter and I said, hey, did you call today? She goes, oh, I'll go do that, Dad, right now. This is like 12:30, right, on a week ago Friday. She comes out of her room crying. And I go, what? She looks at me and says, Dad, the woman said I need to make alternate housing plans immediately, like find an apartment off campus.
Oh, Jesus.
I went, what?
Christ.
Yeah. So I called the woman and I said, what's going on? She explained it to me. And I said, when were you going to call us or email us and let me know?
Oh, boy.
She didn't have an answer. So it's kind of a mess. But
did you start with I'm Paul Majors?
I did not. But I did show your dad's name and yours.
Yeah, right. You'll be way off campus. All right, buddy. Thanks for coming on. Up. And we'll watch you at 5 right. o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 11 o'clock every night on Channel 10.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, take care of yourself.
All right, bye.
All right, there he goes. Paul Majors, man. Not going to get a more solid guy in this city doing news than that Paul Majors. All right, we have some more audio for you when we come back. This convention is going on. I guess it's winding down for the evening. But it'll be on tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I guess Barack Obama gives this big speech on Thursday. If you'd like to chime in here and perhaps answer that question of why the Christ do people get into politics? It is a pain in the ass. The money is not that great. And the power is not even that great anymore. Everyone thinks you're an a-hole. At least 50% of the country thinks you're a complete a-hole when you get into politics. And now it's even getting bigger. Like 65% of the people think you're an a-hole. All right, here are the phone numbers. Why do people get into politics nowadays? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show, live on 97.1 Free FM. Everybody, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM. Continue watching this Democratic National Convention. It goes on until Thursday when Barack Obama gives his speech on Thursday. But more pressing, I guess not more important information, but maybe it is to some of you. Our poker tournament is Thursday night. And we will go on, even though Barack Obama will be giving his speech, we will go on and play anyway. We will try to work through it. And if you want to sign up, you have to sign up today. It's the absolute last day to sign up for that tournament. Go to our website. Is it still up on the website? Yeah. It's down on the website? Go to email us. No more sign-ups?
It's over.
Send us an email. I'll see what I can do for you. All right. Go to send us an email, and I'll see if I can throw your name in there. I'll pick two or three of them out tonight. It's because I got a little pull around here. I can get you like two or three guys' wristbands around here. Email us your first name, your last name, and your email address. And I'll pick two or three tonight. I promise you off that list. And don't talk about, you know, how great Randy is or how weird he is with his YouTube videos. Just your first name, last name, and your email address. And send it to conwayshow@gmail.com. ConwayShow@gmail.com, and I promise you at least two or three in tonight. But we've had a tremendous response to this tournament. It's going to be Thursday night at the Commerce Casino. It starts at 8, but you got to get there around 6:30 to get yourself a seat and free food for the players. There'll be discounted drinks, I think, going on. People will be outside smoking, I don't know, whatever they smoke. And we'll be playing poker inside. So it's a great event. I always look forward to it more than anything else we do here because we do get such a tremendous response. We get between 500 and 600 players that want to come out to this thing. And it's the only one I get emails from people that I haven't seen in years and say, hey, I'd love to get into this tournament. So everybody's going to be down. It's going to be great. Thursday night at Commerce Casino. Even if you don't get an email, and here's a note. All the emails are going out tomorrow morning, so check your box tomorrow morning, your email box. Check your email box tomorrow morning and see if you got yourself an entry in it. I think 500 of you, or I don't know how many they're going to send out, but you'll wake up tomorrow, open up that email, and boom, there it is. It's like Christmas. And then we'll see on Thursday night, Commerce Casino, it's located between the 710 freeway and the 605. And you're going to enjoy it. Even if you don't have a ticket, come down and watch and, you know, just enjoy the casino. All right, conwayshow@gmail.com. That's the address. conwayshow@gmail.com. And I promise pick two or three of you tonight out of that list. So you have between now and 11 o'clock to email us, conwayshow@gmail.com. All right. There's a there's an assassination plot. I guess it's not an attempt. But U.S. police were investigating tonight if they had disrupted an assassination plot against Barack Obama after two men were arrested near the Democratic Convention in Denver with two rifles, a high-powered telescope, and also a powerful stimulant, methamphetamine. The men were arrested in a routine incident involving a traffic cop. The first man, identified by Denver television station as Theron Gartell, 28, was charged with suspicion of being a felon in possession of a weapon and also drugs. But anyway, they had a scope on these guns that could fire from 750 yards away. You know, so 7.5 football fields away, they could have killed Barack Obama. Now, Barack Obama tonight, while the Democratic National Convention is going on in Denver, he's in Kansas somewhere, or in Missouri, watching this on TV. Now, here's the strange thing about politics. He obviously gets wind that there's an assassination plot, because if I know, he knows. And his reaction can't be what a natural man's reaction is when you have kids. If you knew that that there was an assassination plot going on and your family was in the town that it was going to happen in, you get on the next flight or you jump in your car and you race like hell to get to your family, to be with your family. And you can't do that as president. You know, the Secret Service tells you what to do eventually. It's just so crazy. I don't know who the Christ goes into politics anymore. It is for, I don't know what it's who it's for. I don't know what kind of person goes into it knowing that, you know, half the country is going to hate you. Your family's going to be at risk. There's going to be a-holes out there who are going to try to knock you off. And it's all for a couple $100,000 a year? I mean, that's what you get in Senate and Congress. I think as president, you get $400,000 a year. Is it worth it? Is it worth going into politics anymore? Who the Christ does that? Who's doing this? All right, here are the phone numbers. Maybe somebody out there is smarter than I am. Why do people go into politics nowadays? 520-9710. That's our main number here. And perhaps you're in politics and you can give me that answer. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. All right, now here's Ted Kennedy, who's been in politics forever. Brother of, obviously, JFK and Robert Kennedy. And he's had some bad vibes over the summer, a lot of cancer stuff going on. But he made it. He made it to Denver. And here's part of this man's speech.
Together we have known success and seen setbacks, victory and defeat. But we have never lost our belief that we are all called to a better country and a newer world. And I pledge to you that I will be there next January on the floor of the United States Senate when we begin the great count.
There he goes. Fell right off stage. He is not, does not sound well there at the end. And again, I don't know why you do this. The guy has been told that he has stage 4 terminal cancer and that there is no cure for him. None. Not a single cure in the whole universe exists for his disease. And you're supposed to, when there's no cure for your disease, you're supposed to, I guess, conserve your energy and try to live, a healthy life with the kids, maybe the wife. And try to enjoy your last few days. And this guy's getting his old ass on a plane to get to Denver.
Jesus Christ.
To give a speech in front of these lunatics. What drives these people to this lunacy? What drives these people? I mean, listen to this guy at the end. This guy got on a plane and flew to Denver to talk to these people.
That I will be there next January on the floor of the United States Senate when we begin the great
There he goes. All right, then we got, who was it? Caroline Kennedy? Was that who it was? I think it was Caroline Kennedy. And she is the daughter of Ted Kennedy. And there is nothing worse than listening to kids of politicians, ma'am. Because those kids are not saying what they really want to say. They're being told what to say by either the Republicans or the Democrats or their mother or their father. There's not an original thought that comes out, and you can hear it in her voice. There's no inflection whatsoever. It is just complete just she's almost brain dead. Listen to this kid talk about her dad.
No matter how busy he is, he never...
This is in front of 25,000 people in an arena. You can't get it up for this? This is this monotone voice. That's the only thing you can do, and 25,000 people are in front of you. That's not stimulation.
No matter how busy he is, he never fails to find time for those in pain, those in grief, or those who just need a hug. In our family, he's never missed a first communion, a graduation, or a chance to walk one of his nieces down the aisle. He has a special relationship with each of us. And his 60 great nieces and nephews all know that the best cookies and the best laughs are always found at Uncle Teddy's.
Oh, who cares? Who writes this? And why can't you deliver that line with some kind of passion or heart?
And his 60 great nieces and nephews all know that the best cookies and the best laughs are always found at Uncle Teddy's.
Let's back it up here just a bit, Caroline. Let's just do a count here again.
And his 60 great nieces and nephews all know that...
His 60 great nieces and nephews. 60 great nieces and nephews. And this is one of the guys talking about global warming? This is one of the guys out in the forefront of talking about how we have to conserve. And he's got 60 nieces and nephews? What planet are we on here? Oh, Bobo.
The best cookies and the best laughs are always found at Uncle Teddy's. Whether he's teaching us about sailing, about the Senate, or about life, he has shown us how to chart our course.
Well, there's some well-rounded kids.
About the Senate or about life. Whether he's teaching us about sailing, about the Senate, or about life.
Well, he's teaching us about sailing, golfing at Pebble Beach, or taking a vacation in Martha's Vineyard. We are learning life's lessons from our great uncle, Teddy. Ah, Bobo.
He's shown us how to chart our course, take the helm, and sail against the wind. And this summer, as he faced yet another challenge, he and Vicky have taught us all about dignity, courage, and the power of love.
Ah, please. Jesse and Covina, you're on 97.1 Free FM.
Ba-boom, Jimmy. Hey, listen. Okay, here it is. It's 80% ego, 20% civic pride. But let me touch on this Edward Kennedy thing as I was listening to.
Right.
You know what? Yeah. Whatever happened to Mary Jo Kopechne, huh?
He ran away. She's dead.
Yeah, she's dead. He ran away from the accident. And you know what? Only the rich and famous can run away from being a murderer and get away with it.
Yeah, it is
really
odd.
It kills me. It just kills me.
I mean, it is strange that, you know, he gets in an accident where she drowns.
And he runs away.
Runs away from the accident, comes back, I believe, the next morning.
Yeah, and Jesse Washington can't do that.
Yeah, if I did that, I'd still be in jail.
Oh, man.
Yeah, try to do that out there with the Covina police and see how they like it.
Oh, shoot. They'll run up on you like white on rice.
As Arsenio Hall says, they'll step quick to you.
You go, dog.
Yeah, but you know what? And as far as the 60 grandchildren and or whatever you were saying earlier.
Right. 60 nieces and nephews.
Well, that's a Catholic for you.
Yeah, but you know what? But then don't complain about global warming. I mean, if you're going to complain and tell everybody how to live, with global warming and how to conserve, and then you have 60 nieces and nephews, it takes the teeth out of your argument.
Oh, yeah, just like Gore. What's his electric bill?
Yeah,
on all of his mansions, okay?
I agree with you. All right, buddy, thanks for calling.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there he goes. Al Gore, I'll say something quickly about Al Gore here. Al Gore was the guy who started with the global warming. And he's a tremendous hypocrite. But if Ed Begley Jr. put that movie together, and Ed Begley Jr. was the guy in the forefront, not just the show on the Green Network or the Green Station, whatever that thing is, my wife watches every 10 seconds, but if it wasn't Al Gore, if it was Ed Begley Jr. traveling around the country and did a movie or documentary on global warming, the whole planet would have respected that, and everybody would have tried to conserve. Now, here's living proof of that, all right? My wife and I are not big Al Gore fans. But this Ed Begley Jr. comes on and does a show on the Green Network or the Green Channel, whatever the hell it is. And My wife starts watching it. I start watching it. And we've actually changed the way we live in our house because we were watching that show and because Ed Begley Jr. Was such a great voice because he lived the green lifestyle. And now we recycle everything. I got my wife now. She's got three trash cans and she's splitting up everything. She shucks a corn cob and that goes into one can. The styrofoam goes in another can, the paper, and everybody's working their ass off trying to conserve just because we watched that show, that Ed Begley Jr. show. If that guy had done the documentary, maybe we'd all been recycling. All right, let's talk to a man who is actually at the DNC convention right now from KNX. Dick Helton is with us. Dick, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Nice to hear your voice, man.
Beautiful. Beautiful to be on your show.
Thank you. So what is happening? When did you guys catch wind of this assassination plot that we just read about an hour ago?
Well, I think it all began to break about, 4 hours ago, or I think something like that, about the time the 6 o'clock news hit Los Angeles.
Right.
And as it turns out, it looks like really what the cops got were a couple of meth guys.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, really. They talked about how they arrested this guy who was weaving around the road in his pickup truck, and he had a couple of guns in there, one with a scope. Well, look, we're in Colorado. People shoot things with scopes on their guns.
Right.
And there was some indication that maybe some threat had been made by one of these individuals against Senator Obama. And there was also apparently some white supremacist material inside the truck, and certainly that doesn't do any good for anybody when you start making threats. But in the overall scheme of things, as we have later heard from the police that were in Aurora, Colorado, and some of the FBI types and the Secret Service types, they don't really think that there's anything to it. They think they just had a bunch of guys who were maybe, blowing off some steam and maybe their mouth when they shouldn't have.
Right. I mean, I know you guys can't use this term on KNX, but we refer to those guys as a-holes.
Well, I wish we could use that term on KNX sometimes.
That's all you guys would be using up there.
That's right.
Hey, so what else is the big story? I guess Michelle Obama gave a great speech.
It was a good speech. Actually, the big story here tonight, I think, was the fact that Senator Ted Kennedy was able to show up.
Yeah.
Given his medical condition right now, there was every indication that he would not be here, but he was. He came out on the stage. He gave this rousing campaign-style speech for Barack Obama.
Good
so it was really something to see him. He looked he looks pretty good, but considering what he's under right now in terms of his medical condition, I think everybody was sort of stunned by it, and a lot of people really moved to tears out here.
Hey, now what is happening with these protesters? I know they actually built a jail specifically for the protesters in case anything gets out of control. Has it been pretty tame?
Yeah, it's been pretty tame out here. There have been some incidents that have had the police agencies, pretty well surrounding them. I have to tell you, I've been to a lot of these conventions, and this is probably the most secure convention I have ever attended. You run a gauntlet just to get close to the Pepsi Center here. We came in on a delegate bus earlier today just to get down here around 1 o'clock.
Right.
And the bus was itself, which had a cop on it, was stopped 4 or 5 times. You go around this maze of roads just to get close to the place because so many roads around the center are shut down because of the peer protest.
Right.
And so they basically contain this place to keep everybody in that's supposed to be here and everybody out that's not supposed to be here.
All right, Dick Helton is with us. He does a tremendous job for KNX covering the convention and doing a lot of politics. And the big speech for Obama will be then on Thursday. Do you know what time he's going to do that?
I think it'll probably be prime time. Look, they've got to make the East Coast market, so I'm thinking probably around 8 o'clock or so, which gets him into a 2 hours difference here, so 10 o'clock out on the East Coast. And it's at Invesco Field, Mile High Stadium. It'll be something. 75,000 people expected to be there. People clamoring for tickets. You can't get a ticket into the place. Some people trying to sell those tickets on eBay. It's extraordinary. Yeah, I mean,
can you imagine what a pain in the ass it's going to be to get to that stadium?
Oh, don't even get me started. I mean, seriously, do not get me started on that.
I also read that there's they're trying to go green with this convention. Up in Denver, and you can't blame them for that. But there was a problem at the Sheraton Hotel I don't know if you read this story, but the Democrats have embarked on a highly visible effort to make their convention the greenest ever, focusing on everything from expanded recycling to more creative programs like encouraging Denver restaurants to offer lean and green meals. I'm not sure what that means. I guess healthful, like organic stuff.
Yeah, probably.
But he said the Sheraton in downtown Denver handed out guests Visa-sponsored swipe cards made of sustainably harvested wood. Again, not quite sure what that means.
That means they chopped down some trees.
Yeah, that tree is no longer sustainable, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, that's right. It's sustainable for the economy. You spend your money on the back of a tree.
Right, exactly. Well, they made these cards out of wood instead of plastic, you know, where you swipe in to get in your room. Well, so many people had so many problems with them that after 2 hours of it, they killed that idea and went back to plastic and giving out the wood.
Well, you know, I will tell you, this is very interesting because I'm actually staying at that hotel, and we've had no end of difficulty trying to use these cards to get into our rooms. Maybe that explains it. I hadn't seen the story, but now you've enlightened me.
Yeah, I think we're quite a ways away from, that's what cavemen used to get into their hotel.
Yeah, well, you got a half a tree stump and you just knock the door down. I mean, that worked so easily. You know,
we're going back to living like cavemen.
I will tell you, at about 10 o'clock this morning, I would have been happy for a tree stump.
Now, how long did it take you to get from once you got down to the lobby or you left your hotel room to actually get into the Pepsi Center? How long a period is that?
I would say maybe an hour and a half. I could walk it.
Right.
If there weren't fences everywhere and streets closed off, I could probably, it's about a mile and maybe three quarters from here to the hotel, from the Pepsi Center to the hotel.
Oh,
so,
great.
You know, maybe that's a 30 or 40 minute walk, maybe.
Maybe.
If you're walking. But you get into this bus, a delegate bus at the hotel, and then they drive you here, but it takes literally at least more than an hour to drive it here and to go through all these back roads that you have to traverse just to even get close to the place. I mean, the Pepsi Center sits sort of between Invesco Field and Coors Field.
Right.
There's sort of all these stadiums are up on the sort of the northwest side of town,
right,
and sort of the amusement area. But they've got so much stuff closed off that they're taking literally back roads through places that probably nobody would ever have access to other than if you're being followed by police to get into the place.
Oh,
so,
man.
It's just crazy. It's what democracy is all about, not being able to get someplace.
Yeah, perfect. Now, I like when they say we're going to make the country work better and they can't get you to the, you know, from the hotel to the Pepsi Center in an hour and a half.
Yeah, well, I will tell you this. I remember in Los Angeles, and I think you were there too, at Staples.
Oh, yeah.
The transportation in Los Angeles was a real pain in the butt, too.
Oh, yeah.
It truly was. I'm not sure this is much better. I mean, they've had 8 years to try to figure this out, and I'm not so sure they've really done much.
I don't think they ever will. Now, Dick, what is happening? I know that they also warned you guys about alcohol consumption there, saying, or at least the delegates, saying that alcohol goes to the brain quicker and has a much more, different reaction at a mile high.
Yeah, you're already a mile high. They don't want you to get to 2 miles high. I think that's what they're working with out here.
But it must be fun to do this. I mean, because after your day is done, which probably isn't like after this phone call, then you go back to the hotel and the bar is probably jammed with people.
That's what what I do. I love to go into those bars and just keep my ears open,
right?
You know, because that's when everybody's hair gets down and you overhear comments that probably you would never otherwise hear.
That's great.
And that's what, you know, that's part of the joy of this, I suppose, being a reporter that I am. But I've been doing this an awfully long time. I tremendously enjoy it, and I think, you know, most reporters do. Sort of running you down the your life in terms of the hours of sleep that you don't get.
Oh, right.
In terms of just the hassle that you're put through, in terms of the buckets of sweat that you manage to get off your brow while you are standing in line to go through some sort of security check.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. But, you know, we do this every 4 years. We elect a president,
And also the years it takes off your marriage because your wife doesn't believe you're in that hotel alone.
You know what? I'm lucky. My wife's with me. She's sitting right next to me right now. She's another broadcast professional, so thank God for that.
Oh, I thought you just couldn't shake her.
Maybe that's it.
Yeah.
Maybe you've clued in on something I didn't even know about.
Hey, Dick, I on the way to work today, I flipped onto our station, and Tom Likas was talking about the convention. And then I wanted to hear some of the convention, so I flipped around during the commercial break, and I turned on KLAA, nothing there, 870 AM, nothing there. KFWB was doing a was in a commercial break, and KFI was not on it, and KBC was running a baseball game, and I turned to KNX, and you guys are doing live reports from there, so you guys are doing a kick-ass job bringing this to Los Angeles.
Well, thank you for that. That's why we're here. We're trying to, bring something that's new and interesting to the people of Los Angeles. I mean, this is an important thing, apart from all the fun that we make about it.
Yeah.
This is important. It's what our democracy is all about, and it's why we do this every 4 years, and whether you like the candidate or not, that's going to be the candidate, and you have a choice, and over the next, 70 days or so before the election, we're going to be broadcasting a lot from these candidates, and we'll be in St. Paul next week when the Republicans meet there. So,
oh, good,
yeah, it's back-to-back convention fun.
Excellent. Well, we'd love to check in with you. You've been awfully entertaining and a good guy to know.
You're my pal on your radio station, and I will be more than happy to offer what I can whenever you need it.
Excellent. All right, thank you very much, Dick. I really appreciate it.
Okay, Tim.
All right,
thanks.
Dick Helton, everybody, with KNX. You can listen to him on 1070 AM. Covering that convention, man. All right, and every single night at, speaking of news, we do news with Gina Grad at 9 o'clock. Gina, what's going on with that news?
Well, Barack Obama forgets what position he's running for, and Paula, Simon, and Randy are going to have to scooch over to make room for a new fourth judge on The Idol. We'll talk about this and more after the break.
Is that right? The fourth judge? I didn't hear about that. Oh, boy. F all this politics and stuff. Let's find out who that judge is going to be. All right, right now we're going to play David Letterman's top 10 list, the top 10 least popular conversation starters. the top 10 least popular conversation starters.
It's the best list ever.
That's the ticket, man.
That's the ticket.
All right, gang, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live. A 97.1 Free FM.
From the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York, The Late Show with David Letterman. Top 10 list.